Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Believe the Love by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
Something God wants let you go through for the people. Especially those of you who say, well, I'm called. I know God got a plan for my life. God is using me. And God, I got an anointing on my life. And I got a calling on my life. And God going to do great things through me. If that's your testimony, none of that is about you and none of that is for you. If you have an anointing, it's for people. If God's going to use you, he's going to use you to bless people. God does not anoint you and bless you for you. Are you hearing me? So he says, but for the people which stand here, that's why I'm even having this public prayer and this public display and this public dialogue with you. For the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And so the Bible says that after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and we know Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, because he's standing there at the cemetery. If he just said, come forth, it would have been the first thriller. Everybody would have got up. So he had to be very specific and say, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus comes forth. And then later on, the Bible said Jesus is eating that like he did before at Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' house. And the Bible said that the people was lined up all around the house looking at it. Look, that one right there. See that one right there putting hot sauce on the chicken. He used to be dead. He said, get out. He ain't even sick. I'm telling you, he was dead. I saw 5 days ago. He raised him from the dead. And the Bible said that people started coming to hear Jesus, not just for Jesus, but because of Lazarus. That whole thing was a publicity stunt. Can I tell you, there's some things you're going through, it's a publicity stunt. God going to bring more people to him. God going to get more glory when they see how he brings you out, how he delivers you, how he turns that thing around. Come on. God going to get glory through your dilemma. God going to get glory through that sickness. God going to get glory through that lack. God going to even get glory through that divorce. God going to get glory through that repossession. God going to get glory through that foreclosure. God going to get glory through failing out of school. God going to get glory out of everything that you thought you couldn't handle. God going to get glory out of that, and the people will say, there is a God, and this is the Lord's doing. Nobody did this but God. Glory to God. So what does confidence look like? Confidence looks like Peter and John standing before the Jewish religious leaders in Acts 4. After the man got healed, they said, now we're telling you, don't you preach anymore in the name of Jesus. Now stop preaching about Jesus. You preach about Jesus anymore, you think we beat you this time. You don't even want to see what's going to happen. You preach again, and here you preach about this Jesus again. And look what Peter said, Acts 4:18. And they called him and commanded him not to preach or teach anyone in the name of Jesus. And Peter answered and said, listen, whether it's right in the sight of God to hearken, to hear and do what you say more than God, you figure that out. Wait, now, they had just beat them. Peter said, I ain't scared of you. Now, you think we're going to listen to you more than we listen to God? He said, now, y'all supposed to be smart and educated. Figure that one out. What y'all think we're going to do? It says, you judge. Verse 20, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We're going to say what God tells us to say. He left us here to be a witness of the thing that he's done, and we're going to tell it to everybody. Everybody say boldness. Come on. Are you? And some of us, we're not very evangelical. When I say evangelical, we don't witness to people. Come on. Are you even bold enough just to represent Christ? Come, sometimes you don't even have to mention Jesus. Are you bold enough to smile when everybody else is frowning? Are you bold enough just to be nice when everybody's being nasty? Are you bold enough to not get involved in the gossip when everybody's gossiping? Can I tell you, those little things like that, it is a witness that something's different about you. What does boldness look like? Boldness looks like Daniel. In the book of Daniel, 3rd chapter, 16 through 18, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Ananias, Mishael, and Azariah, the Hebrew names, and they were told that if you won't bow down when you hear the music and worship this image that we've established as a god, then we're going to throw you in the fiery furnace. And Daniel 3rd chapter verse 17, answered king and said, listen, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. Now, that can be taken a couple of ways. Said, we're not worried about how we even got to respond to you. And I'm not worried about what you're going to do about what I'm going to say. It is what it is. Come on now. Do you have that kind of boldness to recognize? I'm serious. Because there comes a time you got to be willing to face consequences for what you believe. Yeah, yeah. Keep on living. There's time you will have to take a stand for righteousness, where you're not going to be able to go along with the crowd and do what everyone else is doing. And there may be some consequences for that. I faced that in Maine in the early 20s, but it established me for the Constitution about principles that I have today. When my uncle said to me, you need to be in here on Wednesday night, then Wednesday night, when he heard I was teaching a Bible study at the AME Zion Church, he said, I hear you up there at the black church, because we had one black church in the town, okay? He said, I hear you up there at the black church teaching his Bible study on Wednesday night. Then he started making fun of Christians, especially black Christians. And he's black, well, kind of. Blackish. He gone on now. Okay? He said, you Christians, you especially you black, you're always on your knees praying. Oh Lord, help us, Jesus. I wonder what he said anyway. Lazarus and the rich man just made me think about it. Start making fun. And he said, listen, he said, you need to be in here and working on Wednesday night. That was never the agreement. We knew that from the beginning. He said, you need to stop teaching that Bible study. Now, this is all demonic. Stop teaching that Bible study and being here working on Wednesday nights. I said, that was not our agreement. I've already committed to teaching this Bible study. I will not be here on Wednesday night. I am not careful to answer you in this matter. And he said, if you're not here on Wednesday night, then you're fired. I said, I quit. He said, you ain't quitting, you're fired. I said, I quit. He said, you ain't quitting, you're fired. I said, I quit. He gone, I'm still here, and my word stands. I quit. And we suffered. We went without, but I knew I made a stand for God. I knew God got something on the other side of this. I knew some kind of way that my testimony was going to cause me to rise to the top. I knew some kind of way that me not compromising my commitment was going to cause God to back me up. Are y'all listening to me? Saw him later. He said, I hear you working for such and such a company. He said, yeah. He said, you know, years ago, none of us could work there. But I'm the first, ain't I? Oh, you're hearing me here. Because when God opens up a door, no man can shut it. You got to understand. The Bible said, don't put your confidence in man. Now, many of us, we would have failed that test. Well, all right, I got to, no. I knew right there that was a test about my priorities. It was a test about my commitment. And I'm here living today because of a decision I made when I was 24, 25. Because the decision I made, I'm going to put God first before a job. Are y'all listening to me? Before a check. Because God can take care of me better than man can. Hallelujah. Does anybody really believe that? So they said, if it be so, Daniel 3:17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fire, from the burning furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand. He said, if God wants to deliver us, he's going to deliver us, and he will deliver us. Okay? They said, if it be so that we go into the furnace, I just want to let you know God's able to deliver us. Now, I may go into the furnace, but I want to let you know God's able to deliver me. I'm not even scared to go in because God can bring me out. See, sometimes we try to avoid going in everything. There's something you're going to have to go in just to let folks, God can bring you out. Watch it. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he delivers us. Come on. He can't get you out if you ain't in. There's some stuff you're going to have to stop trying to avoid going in and say, if I go in, I'm going to go in, but God's going to bring me out. Come on, stop compromise just to not go in. I may have to go in, but God gonna bring me out. If I perish, I perish. But I'm going to see the King. If so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from burning fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand. But then verse 18 said, but at the end of the day, and if not, even if he don't deliver us. Oh, come on now. I'm believing God gonna give me a new car. But even if he don't give me a new car, I believe I'm gonna get married. But even if I don't get married, I sat with a young man the other day, a young man in our church who's in his 20s, who was in a relationship, got his heart broken and all that. And he said, Pastor, he said, yeah, I went through that. He said, I just want to be in the will of God right now. He said, I want to serve God and believe God. God's going to bring me the wife at the right time. He said, but the truth of the matter is, I just want to live for the Lord. He said, I want to get married, want to have kids. He said, but if I don't, it's all right. I'm going to do God's will for my life. I said, where have you been? I've had folks leave this church because they were so upset about their current state. I said, have you resolved that your life belongs to God? I know you want to get married. I know you want to have kids. I know you want this. But suppose God got a different plan. Will you still serve him? I'm going to another church. And I believe with you for anything. But at the end of the day, come on, we sing the song. We heard it this morning. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I present my body as a living sacrifice. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. So glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. And yet when God doesn't do something we want him to do, we want to flip this thing and think that God exists for us rather than us existing for him. By him all things were created, and all things were created by him and for him. Yeah, I believe with you for your car. I believe with you for your house. I believe with you for your child. I believe with you for your new job. I believe with you for your business to grow. But their thing was, we're not just serving God for what he does for us. Ooh, Jesus. I live for him. If not, I just want you to know, King, verse 18, be it known unto you, O King, with all due respect, long live the King. Be it known unto you, O King, that we will not serve your gods. We will not worship the golden image which you have set up. Now, do what you gotta do. Are you bold enough to face what looks like natural consequences for what you say you believe? If you believe the love, you'll go on through it. Because if God brought me through this place, there's a test I need to pass. And promotion is always on the other side of a pass test. Y'all aren't hearing me here. I know you're confessing promotion, you're confessing next level, but sometimes to get to the promotion, to get to the next level, you got to be willing to pass the test. Come, and God does not let you sit for a test that you have not prepared for. Go, y'all hearing me here. You don't go sit and just take the LSAT one day. No, you got to graduate from college first. Are you hearing me? You don't just take the GRE or take the bar exam. No, you go through medical school first. And then you go through law school. Y'all are hearing me. What you have been through up until now has qualified you for the test that you're in right now. Will you look at somebody and say, I've been prepared for this test? I know you're going through a marriage problem, but I'm here to tell somebody, God prepared you for this test. I know you're going through some things on your job, but God has prepared you for this test. I know you're going through something for your finances, but God has prepared you for this test. I know that Goliath looked big. He looked strong. I know he looks intimidating, but that bear you defeated, and that lion you defeated have prepared you for this uncircumcised Philistine. You got a covenant with God. Look at somebody say, I will pass this test. Oh my God, my God. I don't know what you're going through here, but I came to encourage somebody today to say you won't pass the test. And there's promotion on the other side of your test. Hallelujah. So let me move on. Which brings us to the next one. That this love, believing the love, it produces confidence, but the next thing it produces is fearlessness. We see that with Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, with Daniel. I'm willing to go into the lion's den. I'm willing to go into the fiery furnace, and I'm going to go in without fear. 1 John 4:18 says, because there is no fear in love. If we believe the love, then there's no fear in love. There's no fear in love, but perfect or perfected or mature love. Mature love, perfected love, casts out, thrusts out, and expels fear. Because fear has torment. Fear makes me worry. Fear makes me anxiety stricken. Fear makes me think, suppose I don't have it. Fear makes me think, suppose it don't come through. Fear makes me think, suppose God leaves me. Fear makes me, no. I got confidence in God, and I believe his love. Are y'all making this connection? If I believe his love, there's no fear. There's certain things my wife does not worry about. Now, in the early days of our marriage, before I had my priorities straight, and I was getting my CDs, and I'm not talking about certificates of deposits. I'm talking about music CDs and albums, and I was treating myself to all the music I wanted, and then believing God for my rent, buying my wants, and then having to believe for my needs, because I didn't beg nobody. By buying my want and then believing. And I would tell her, I would go shop or something. Then I'd say, listen, I need you to believe God. We need $300 by the end of the month. She said, what? I said, just believe God. Just pray. Because I know God hear you. She said, well, why I got to pray about this? Did you just listen, I work hard. I work hard. Listen, I ain't smoking crack. I ain't going to strip club. I deserve to get myself some Nita Baker's CD if I want it. All I'm trying to do is get caught up in the rapture. You know wrong with getting caught up in the rapture. Now, when I was making those kind of decisions, not being wise, she would have said, now we got the rent. Okay? When the last time you asked me, we had the mortgage? No, because this love has gotten matured and perfected. I got a history with her that she knows the mortgage is taken care of. She knows that the utilities are taken care of. Somebody tweeted something the other day or put something on Facebook. Said my wife came up to me something and said to me, I'm a great provider. He said, I'm ready to run through a wall now. So women, you'd be surprised. The little things that we take for granted, if you just let your husband know that you're appreciative of it, oh, it will go a long way. All that honey-do list, also we want to fix everything. Then why did that light been out? Come on, just show some appreciation. Come on, am I right, brothers? Don't be scared. She ain't going to slap you while I'm here. You don't know my wife, Pastor. Shut up! Appreciate that. every man, I'm serious, every man wants to be appreciated, even for the things that is our responsibility that we do all the time. Because men, especially African-American men, we got in the back of our mind, we got that least brother in our mind. At least I come home. Because we know that brother won't come home. At least I come home. At least I go to work every day. At least you got a car. It may be 1975 Maverick, but you got a car. Y'all don't know what a Maverick is. That was my first car. That was my first car, Ford Maverick, 1974. That I got hit in the back, took the insurance company, didn't get it fixed. Y'all know that's when you're desperate. I had a string holding my trunk together. The heat didn't work. But that was all right for heat not to work because I had to go on dates. And I had a blanket. So I tell the young listen, the heat don't work. Put this blanket on. Anyway, come on, let's get back to the message here. Let's get back to the message. No fear in love. Watch this. No fear, not even a little fear. Absolutely no fear when our love gets perfected. I'm not right now talking about our perfection of our love towards God. I'm talking about perfected in maturity that God loves me. And he loves me too much to allow anything to happen to me. The example I gave last week of me having my three sons and my nephew, and I put them up on this ledge and tell them all to jump down, and they all jump down thinking it's fun, and they jump down in my arms, and I go, wee! And then after they do a couple, they say, do it again, Daddy! And my nephew, I said, jump, and he won't jump because he don't know me like that. He doesn't know that I love him like that. He doesn't have that kind of relationship with me. So he's not confident that he can jump into my arm. Now, perhaps he would have jumped to his own father's arm, but he didn't jump in my arm. My children had no problem jumping into my arm because they knew I loved them, and they knew I'm not going to let anything happen to them. My love in their mind has been perfected towards them. They know Daddy's not going to hurt me. Daddy's going to take care of me. If he tells me to jump, he got me. Oh, somebody came to church just for that. If God telling you to jump, he got you. Look at somebody and say, if God tells you to jump, he got you. So fear is a result of insecurity or lack of assurance that God will take care of you. What you going to do after you sow that seed? God going to take care of me. What you going to do as you go through retirement, getting closer to retirement? God going to take care of me. And our man to man, one of our brothers in the church who's retired now, he said he was encouraging the brothers to young men to get involved in your company's investment plans or 401k plans or retirement plans. He said, I'm retired now. He said, but I realized something. He said, I got to trust God now that I'm retired, just like I trust God when I was working. The just shall live by faith. You don't graduate from faith. Come on. If you graduated from faith, you need to be in heaven. Long as you're on this earth, you will have to believe God for something. It may not be a material thing, but you're always believing God for something. And God is glorified by us staying in faith no matter what we're going through. So fear is a result of insecurity, lack of assurance that God will take care of you. So what does David say in Psalm 23? Because the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me, paths right before his name's sake, lead me beside still waters. He restores my soul. But watch this. But the same God that leads me, the same God that takes care of me, the same God who's my shepherd, then he goes on and says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Wait, hold up. He's my shepherd. He's lead me. See, I'm going to deal with this in the encounter. He's leading me. And yet, I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death. See, faith folk, they don't like to talk about this stuff. How can I be in the will of God in a scary place? He's my shepherd. He's leading me. One minute, I'm beside still waters. He caused me to lie down in green pastures, and now I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death. But you got to understand, but he's leading you. The same God that was with you in the beside the still waters that caused you to lay down in green pastures is the same God who's leading you, okay, who's leading you through. Oh, come on, that's a good word right there. He's leading me through. He's leading me through. He didn't lead me to. He's leading me through.
God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. He loves us perfectly and unashamedly. Bishop Herbert Billy encourages you to believe God's unexplainable, crazy love that he has for you. Order this powerful series today on CD or DVD. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Order Believe the Love.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.